Welcome to another episode of 10 Minutes With, supported by the PHA Group, where we meet with entrepreneurs and business leaders from around the world to find out what makes them tick. Today, we're joined by Richard Thompson. Richard is chairman of the M&C Saatchi Talent Group, which combines a talent management agency he founded, representing leading figures from sport and entertainment, with a social influencer division. Richard is also chairman of 2-4, the UK's largest independent TV production company, and chairman of Surrey County Cricket Club, the 2018 county champions. Richard, you've been an entrepreneur all your life. Tell me how it all started, though.
It probably started when I was 12 in the playground selling stationery and food that I couldn't eat that my mother thought I could, and getting the entrepreneurial flair of actually making money selling things to my friends, and realizing that with some personality and the right product, who knows what you can do. So it started very young and gave me that flavor and sense of what potential there could be.
And when did you first set up your first company, your first start?
So I left school at 16, started my first agency at 19, very much during that period of Thatcher's golden era, where you enterprise and entrepreneurship was really central to her government strategy and what she wanted for the country. So getting funding wasn't that difficult, and being encouraged to start your own business wasn't either. And I realised even then at 19, I'm living at home, I've got no mortgage, I've got no kids. The risk was just risking my health. Other than that, I could run with it. So I think starting young and giving myself an advantage at the time, I didn't realize how much that would benefit me in later years, but it got me going very early. And I think, you know, I learned very quickly, and in that period of 10 years, having created a business and then to sell it when I was 29 kind of set me up, my whole career up from there, really.
And I think I'm right in saying that was a computer business.
Yeah.
But when you sold it, you then sold it to
Mosaic the management.
Group.
No, the first business I sold to management, and it was the experiences in having this dealership, which became IBM's Dealer of the Year and Quality Dealer of the Year, won numerous awards through our excellence working with a big corporate, with IBM. And then the world of personal computing came about. PC World's first store was in Croydon, which was 100 yards from my office on the Purley Way in Croydon, where we were selling to businesses. But we were looking over our shoulder at what was about to be sold to people at home, but realizing that people at home didn't have a clue, but also the people selling them the IT didn't have a clue either. So we created a business to help that retailer in selling and demystifying technology to people from home. And that market exploded. And it went from kind of what you would describe as in-store demonstrators to a whole below-the-line marketing agency of working with tech brands around their in-store marketing, point of sale, digital, direct mail, the whole, all the below-the-line disciplines to some of the largest tech companies in the world, that went from the IT businesses of Microsoft, Compaq, HP, IBM, then to Vodafone, Apple, Motorola, Nokia, businesses that have just about survived, BlackBerry. So any organization that was aiming tech at consumers, and I created an agency to support that, and that was the business that was then finally started as EMS. I sold it to Mosaic then sold it to Publicis, and that was probably my biggest deal at the time, or my second startup that exploded, in the sense that happened very quickly.
And then you made this pivot, really. You set up your own talent management company, Merlin Elite, as it then was, back in 2003. I mean, that was quite a change. What made you make that move?
I think I was on a very aggressive burnout. I achieved it. However, I lost the inclination to kind of be in that business-to-business world. I put myself under a lot of pressure for 15 years, and I just wanted to change. I'd always backed myself, and I was starting to use talent in various campaigns within the Mosaic Publicis world, and I was fascinated to see how that worked. Shocked to see how successful it was, and that was late 90s, early 2000s, and just seeing the impact talent could have on a brand. At the time as well, I had some time, and I was on gardening leave deciding what I wanted to do next. I was chairing Matt Latissi's testimonial year, chairing Alex Stewart's benefit year and testimonial year, and even looking at sportsmen, thinking that, you know, their agents aren't very good, and they certainly aren't giving any thought to what they should do next in terms of using their profile and fan base almost to pivot to their next career. So as much as I'd reinvented myself a couple of times, I'd had the confidence to do that, and it was giving those individuals the confidence to do that too. So I think that I kind of fell into it. The genesis of this business, the talent business, was seeing from a distance that people weren't getting being very well served and there was a gap in the market.
You run this company, you're obviously involved heavily with 2-4 and with Surrey. I mean, that's quite a portfolio to manage. How do you stay on top of it all?
By working with brilliant people. I mean, I know it's a cliche, you know, employ people better than you, but that's not difficult. The reality is that I do employ some amazing people that I regard as partners, and that enables me to operate at the level I need to be operating at. So if I get too bogged down operationally, then that's not a good thing. There's always a fire to put out somewhere. I think the reality is you've always got to have the capacity for that, but at the same time, making sure that any of the businesses that I chair still get enough of me, more than enough of me really, to ensure that I can do what's required of me in those particular roles.
Richard, the turnaround for Surrey off the field has been quite a thing. Just describe to me how you've made the business really grow.
I think focus on the areas of non-cricket income that we weren't focusing enough on, conference and events and T20, both of those businesses have doubled and trebled. And so I suppose the principle we looked at was to, rather than build additional pies, which could have been involving, what I mean by that, new revenue streams, putting in concerts, using the grass 12 months of the year rather than just for cricket, we felt actually we've got a great asset here. We need to make this asset sweat more, which meant not increasing the overhead. It meant just driving the asset harder. So conference and events now is a huge business for us. Our T20 income is also a huge business for us, and that's been central to our success, as well as driving membership. Our membership has grown by 40%, and I don't think we, in many counties, I think, kind of don't put as much energy into building their membership in the way we did, but our membership income has grown fairly dramatically as well. So we were very focused, laser guided in those three areas, and in all three, making sure the offering was quality. Didn't want to get kind of caught in the middle. We want to make sure that we're offering a product, whether that's membership, C&E, or a match day experience for T20. It's something that's memorable, and it's something you want to return to.
Right, a few quick fire questions, if you don't mind. Describe what you do in one sentence.
Probably three words, I would say. Not maybe more than three words. I would lead, I motivate, I challenge, and I encourage.
What's the one thing people would be surprised to know about your business?
I would probably say the number of hours in a day that you have to commit to working with the complex situations that we have to do when you're managing people's careers. And in my sense, I'm nobody's specific agent, but I oversee a lot of what goes on. And I think it's just the sheer complexities of modern media and the challenges that that has. I think it's kind of, if one day I put the book out, then I hope people will believe what is in the book, because sometimes it's hard to be believable in some of the challenges that we have.
When did you know you'd made it?
I haven't yet.
Who is the one person to have helped you most on your journey?
My parents.
How many hours of sleep do you get per night?
5 to 6.
How do you manage your time?
Brutally, through technology, through sitting in the back of a lot of Adelies, using every minute in the day to catch up, email, wherever I'm on the move. Prioritising. I've worked to two simple principles in managing my day, of deciding things sit in two columns. They're either urgent or they're important. There's nothing in a third column.
What do you predict will change in your industry in the next 6 months?
I think brands will realise that the impact that social influencers are having is so profound, and the fragmentation of media is so profound. I think the reality of change, it doesn't happen in months, it doesn't happen in years now, it happens in months.
Describe your biggest mistake.
In my 20s, not fully understanding the value of equity.
What's your one piece of advice for other entrepreneurs?
I think remember it. It's probably more the way you make somebody feel than what you tell them. They will forget what you tell them, but they will not forget the way you make them feel.
Join us next time for another episode of 10 Minutes With, a podcast supported by the PHA Group, where we meet with entrepreneurs and business leaders to find out what makes them unique.